we would have had more air support to be able to fight these fires if one Yahoo wasn't flying a drone and then it hit a wing of an aircraft.
It was only off by a foot or two from the prop.
Yeah, if it would have hit the prop,
or the windshield, anywhere but the exact place it hit, could have brought the whole plane down.
Welcome to the Aviation Mentors Podcast, the podcast that takes your dreams of flight and turns it into reality.
Sponsored by Strass Financial, financing your flight training.
For pilots, by pilots. I'm Brandon Martini, a commercial pilot and flight instructor.
And I'm Carson Vasquez, I'm a private pilot.
Whether you're a seasoned pilot or beginner with dreams of flight,
Aviation Mentors is your source for expert insights, industry trends, and inspiring stories.
So fasten your seatbelts and prepare for this incredible journey through the skies.
And stay connected with us on social media for exclusive content.
And visit our website at www.aviationmentors.com and let us be your co-pilot on this adventure.
Welcome back, everybody, to another awesome and amazing episode of the Aviation Mentors Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. Today, we're diving into a topic that is not that fantastic, actually, Carson. Being from California and kind of going back and forth between Florida and California, there's been some devastating wildfires in the past few weeks. And by the time this episode comes out, I'm hoping they will all be gone and put out, at least mostly contained. But the fires in California have really destroyed some homes, forced countless evacuations, and really tested the strength of communities and people and resiliency, to be honest. But through all of it, anybody who's watched the news might have noticed one big thing happening. And that is how aviation is helping save homes. Even though we lost all the homes in the Palisades and a multitude of homes by Pasadena and kind of all over SoCal, and there's more fires that are raging again. I know yesterday or the day before, another fire. Just yesterday.
So we're recording this, what day is it, Thursday?
The 23rd.
And on the 22nd at 10 a.m., I'm interested in this kind of stuff. So yeah. Yesterday at 10 a.m., the fire started, called the Hughes Fire now. And it's up in Castaic.
Castaic. Oh, really?
Yeah. And it started there. And within 2 hours, it was already at like 1,000 acres. And wow. Now it's at 10,000.
Jeez.
Within exactly 24 hours almost.
See, I missed that fire. I was talking about the one in Riverside. The river bottom was on fire again.
Oh, right next to the airport.
Yeah, right next to Riverside Airport. And I saw some videos from like feeds at the airport that my friends posted online. And you could see the fire burning. And there was also a fire also in like Carupa Hills, which is also near Riverside. And that might have been 2 days ago near where my parents live in Eastvale.
2 days ago also down in San Diego, there was the Lilac Fire.
They're all over the place right now.
Yeah, that one forced a whole bunch of evacuations.
And I'll tell you this, by the way, normally every year the river bottom starts to burn in Riverside, and that's the LA River. I think it's considered the LA River. It comes from the mountains, and it might be called a different river. We'd have to double check that. But regardless, it goes through Riverside County, through San Bernardino County, then Riverside County. Then it goes all the way through Orange County and then ends up in the ocean. That's this river that goes all the way through, basically where all the snowpack melts and then it flows down into the oceans. Well, in this river bottom near Riverside, they have an entire community of homeless people there. And I'm not going to use the word unhoused. I don't care how unhinged you get on this podcast. Maybe this will go viral like the one of Carson, but I'm not going to use that word. But these homeless people, they have serious mental issues that we really need to find solutions for. And California has been basically just giving them drugs and harboring their mental illness and allowing them to just do whatever they want to do. And the reason why I bring this up, and I know that's a controversial topic, and I'm sorry if it offends you, I truly am, but they cause fires every single year in the river bottom. It causes business to stop at the airport every single year, cost lots of people a lot of money, cost people to have jobs to have to take days off. I mean, it's really, truly bad. I mean, besides just that, there's also a lot of resources that the city has to put in. And every year, the river bottom burns.
A couple times usually. Usually you see smoke over in Riverside and you know right away, like is the first assumption that, okay, the homeless people set the riverbed on fire again.
And the only reason why we say that's the assumption is because every single year they say that's what was the cause. Yeah. So it's not us just being judgmental or anything like that. It's literally the cause of the fire. So it's really an issue that California is having. We saved the Delta smelt fish several years ago up north, and we are sending all of our water into the oceans. I mean, we're actually sending all of our water that's coming up from like Mount Baldy and
freshwater.
We're sending all of this directly into the oceans rather than figuring out ways to hold it and utilize it for certain reasons.
Farmers in the valley are having a big problem with water. their water supply. I've been there for a while, but
I also think that's a different issue with the type of nuts they're growing. They take a lot of water, but this isn't a political show, right? We're not talking about that, but it is in California where it causes issues. Well, some big problems we had were lack of water, but luckily the state of California or the counties, they end up leasing these CL-215 aircraft. I think that's what they're called, CL-215. I'm going to double check that. But they're the Super Scooper airplanes. Yeah, I got it right. Canadair CL-215 aircraft. See, every once in a while, I know my airplanes really well.
That was impressive.
And it's a seaplane. Of course, I know it.
Oh, you know that's me. That's a given. Yeah.
And I'm multi-seaplane.
You have a type rating in that too?
No, but I would love one. That's like a dream. Oh, I could just imagine. By the way, if you don't know what a CL-215 is, you should look it up. They're the fire scooping airplanes that you see online all the time, or not online. Well, I guess sometimes online.
It's that yellow and red one.
Yeah, they're all yellow and they've got some red marks on it. They look like a firefighting airplane. And what they do is they scoop up water at a certain airspeed and it fills them up really, really fast. Like they end up sticking like this big pipe down into the water and it just hydraulically goes down and then fills up the entire back of the aircraft or however it has to be for weight and balance. And then they take off and then they go over the fire and they use a fire boss. And that fire boss ends up telling them, okay, here's the coordinates, here's where to go drop, here's the hot spots, et cetera. And they use thermal imaging to go figure out where to drop these water at. And I know this because we actually interviewed a firefighter. Right. What's his name? Ryan Elsman. In one of our first like 25 episodes or something.
Yeah.
It was a long time. When we were still recording at Next Gen, we did that. And he told us a little about it. I really like these airplanes, so I've watched a little bit, several documentaries on them. I know there was one on, I don't know, I want to say Discovery Channel, but it could have been anything. And these planes are really fantastic. And what they were doing for the fires in LA, they were dropping water all over all the hotspots. And if it wasn't for them, these fires could have, I bet you they could have taken out part of Santa Monica.
I think so. They could have gotten huge. And if you're done with that storyline, I got something else to take off. Get it. Take off.
Take off. By the way, I have a story about the CL-215s and how one was grounded, which I will talk about next after you finish that thought.
Yeah. So those CL-215s were pretty big in the LA fires, but every year in usually around August and September, we have fires that we consider fire season in Southern California.
Yeah, this is an odd time for fire season. January is not fire season, but we also have not had rain this year.
We haven't had rain for months.
Months, yeah.
Literally months. But usually August and September fire season, and my parents, growing up, we lived right next to Cleveland National Forest. And one year, it caught on fire. It was called the Holy Fire. Huge. We had to evacuate. My dad stayed. It wasn't near the houses, but we had to evacuate with all that smoke. He stayed and just watched the helicopters come in drop after drop. And these guys were doing like 90 drops a day.
Yeah, they go pull water out of wherever they can, and they normally will go take them out of your swimming pool. By the way,
yeah,
the water in your swimming pool is
free game
if there's a fire out. And I don't know, if I was a homeowner that had a pool, I would say, please take all of my water and help save my home.
Yeah.
From the news, I mean, you saw helicopters going into places that had really big backyards that you could bring a helicopter into and then scooped up the water out of there and they just took it.
Yeah, that was crazy. But seeing those guys do those runs, it was just nuts to watch and see the videos. And then one of them was landing at Corona Airport, and that's where it's based out of for a couple of these fires. So I actually got to go up close and like see them and meet the pilots.
Wow, that is pretty neat.
Yeah, that was really cool. And just say, thanks, you guys saved our house. And you know,
that's really cool.
These were the ones because they couldn't get the planes into the Cleveland National Forest hills.
Yeah, a lot of these planes are actually based in Southern California. They base them out of either San Bernardino or Chino Airport. And for those of you who don't know, I did my very first flight in a Cessna 172, a small aircraft at Chino Airport. Kilo Charlie November Oscar, which is a fond memory. And now I get to see these firefighting airplanes there.
Saving everybody.
Saving a lot of people. And then I've also seen the CL-215s at San Bernardino SBD, and they've hung out there. But to that point, Carson, there was a problem this year.
Oh, I heard. Oh, yeah.
Yes. And actually, it kind of irritated me. It did more than irritate me. It's a family-friendly show. I don't want to use the words that it would really do to me. But there are people that fly drones, and they think they're being great people trying to get great pictures for Instagram and Facebook and TikTok. I guess TikTok, as of recording this, TikTok is back live again. So we'll see.
It was like a 12-hour outage. We've had ones longer.
Yeah. And my son actually deleted TikTok off of his phone. And now it's not.
Now he can't get it back.
He can't get it back. He's all irritated with it. It's pretty funny.
Also, I'm selling a phone with TikTok installed for like 10 grand on eBay.
Wow.
And they expected it to be a longer thing.
Yeah. That's so stupid.
Anyway,
so here's kind of the heartbreaking thing. When people fly drones around, especially in places that have TFRs, okay, by the way, TFR is temporary flight restriction for those of you who are not pilots or still learning to be a pilot. These TFRs say you can't fly anything from a certain altitude. In fire areas, that altitude says from the ground to a certain altitude, right? That means no drones. You shouldn't even fly a kite. Yeah, don't even go fly a kite. I mean, technically, you'd still go fly a kite, but
you shouldn't.
You probably shouldn't. Pretty strong winds. I don't know if you even could fly a kite in 50-mile-an-hour winds.
Wow, we get sidetracked quickly.
Sorry. Yes, we do. That was Carson's fault, by the way.
I'll take it.
So the problem is people are flying these drones, right? And they think they're doing great, like I was saying, but they're not. It's not worth your pictures and videos to down an aircraft. So that's what happened. We would have had more air support to be able to fight these fires if one Yahoo wasn't. Yeah, I'm using the word Yahoo. Crazy guy.
These cats.
These crazy people. Flying a drone, and then it hit a wing of an aircraft.
It was only off by a foot or two from the prop.
Yeah. If it would have hit the prop.
Or the windshield.
Yeah.
Or the anywhere but the exact place it hit. Could have brought the whole plane down.
Yeah, you know? It could have taken an aircraft down. And besides, it could have just taken the aircraft down. What it did is it took the aircraft out of service, which is the second worst thing that could have happened, right? I mean, a big airplane like that crashing into the mountain, that would have been number one. Luckily, that did not happen. The pilots are safe. But it took out an entire aircraft that was leased to fight fires.
Yeah, one of the worst parts is it wasn't even a U.S. plane. It was a Canadian plane that they brought down.
By the way, there are no U.S. firefighting airplanes, and I don't know why. There should be U.S. firefighting airplanes, at least that I know of. I mean, I don't know of any.
I think we have the Global Super Tanker.
Maybe, but Coulson is the company that does most of the firefighting, and they're the ones who fly those CL-215s.
I don't know about all that. I didn't know we didn't have plans.
For some reason, my new saying is, with that being said, so I'm going to say, with that being said, don't go fly your drones, because now these airplanes aren't able to go fight fires for the rest of the year, whenever they get fixed. That's a big structural issue. And I seriously hope, I am praying that the drone got stuck inside the wing, which it probably did. If it did, guess what? There's a serial number on that sucker. And the person flying it, I hope you go to prison. I really hope you do.
I think
because it's your fault that people have probably died or houses are gone. It really is.
Yeah. You brought down a plane that this super tanker is dropping the fire retardant. Mm-hmm. I think that these planes are second most important. And you brought down a pretty big one.
A really big one. You know what time it is, Carson?
Time's a brain.
It's time to talk about one of our favorite companies.
Which company would that be?
Aviation Mentors is excited to be sponsored by the one and only Stratus Financial, dedicated to supporting the next generation of future aviators.
You know, Stratus Financial really understands the financial challenges that students face in pursuing their aviation dreams. That's why they offer student loans specifically tailored to aspiring pilots.
With competitive rates and flexible repayment plans, Stratus Financial helps take your aviation education to new heights.
So go visit their website today at www.stratus.finance. Just to be clear, that is not .com, it's .finance. And embark on your journey towards a sky full of possibilities.
Carson, it's time to get back to what we do best.
The show.
There's other people that try to save their homes and like attach garden hoses to their drones and stuff next to their houses. That's not doing anything. Just evacuate, stay safe, do the right things. But this episode really is dedicated to all the people that lost their homes and really lost their lives. And we really feel for all of you. And I know we're an aviation podcast and we try to stick to that. And that's what we are sticking to today. But it was quite crazy on what happened with these fires. I mean, they're saying the economic impact of these fires is estimated between $135 and $150 billion. And it's displaced more than 200,000 residents. And just the Palisades and Eaton fires have collectively burned over 37,000 acres. By the way, in California, I don't even know what an acre is because we live in square feet. Okay. Same thing in my house in Florida. I think I've got like half an acre and I barely even know what that is because of there. So it's,
yeah, we don't have acres here. We have feet of land.
Yeah. Feet of land. There's no acres.
Yeah. But the scary thing is, being in Southern California, you see these fires all the time. You see them in the forests and they're wildfires. One of the things that you always think is that being in the city, you're safe. So seeing the city itself actually burning, is pretty unheard of. Like, it's historically happened maybe once or twice, between, you know, big California cities like San Francisco and Sacramento and LA, but seeing the actual city itself burning is unimaginable, and they couldn't stop it.
Yeah, it couldn't stop. They even said that there was no water in the fire hydrants. And that brings me to that Delta Smelt thing earlier about our policies in California, getting rid of our water for an endangered fish. So, I don't know, 200,000 people have to go pretty much homeless to help a little endangered fish that probably tastes pretty good. I've had little smelt fish before and I've had them grilled up. Maybe not the Delta Smelt, but other ones. And I don't know, they don't taste that
great. Started getting the seafood.
Good. I'd rather eat that fish than let thousands and thousands of people get displaced and homes all destroyed. But that's just my personal opinion. I care more about people than I do little fish.
Go figure.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, there's going to be a role in aviation going forward, and that's going to be for all of these fires. I really think we need more of these super scoopers for down here. We need better fire mitigation strategies. We need to start laying down fire retardant a little earlier. These are my personal opinions. Obviously, they're not opinions of the state or anything like that. But
it's even more difficult when there's so many fires going on and we have a limited number of aircraft.
Yeah.
So like right now, I think there's 4 active fires all over Southern California that are at least the big ones. There's more that are smaller. But these fires are, you know, there's the app Watch Duty. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. Everyone should have it. It's like a Southern California's dream app. It tells you all about the fires and everything that's going on. So you get alerts if you're near any one of these fires. I keep getting these notifications. It's like, this fire is calling for, you know, 10 super scoopers, 10 helicopters, and there's another fire calling for 20. And it's like, there's not that many planes. So actually trying to allocate the resources appropriately is insane.
Yeah.
These fires are happening quickly. And
we could use a lot more airplanes, but then there's probably a caveat to that. Are there enough airplanes in general? I mean, Boeing and Airbus can't pump out airplanes quick enough. There's like 5 to 10 year wait list or more. I don't know the exact number, but they're very long. Cessna can't pump out these airplanes quick enough. Neither can Piper. I'm curious if these aircraft manufacturers really wanted to make more airplanes faster.
Could they?
I wonder if they could. I wonder if they do it just to make sure that they don't kind of oversupply what the demand is. But there's a caveat to that. That is actually dangerous when it comes to like these firefighting airplanes. If there's companies that are just worried about their future, which is a valid thing, like you don't want to go out of business, you want to continue being able to make these aircraft long term. Is there someone who can maybe? I'm normally not an advocate for government like stepping into private businesses, but if it's a national security thing, like fires and public safety thing, we already do this for police and fire. Why not make sure that there's a stipend if they can create X number of aircraft long-term? This is just me like thinking outside the box and like from an abstract way, but why can't they just up their facilities? Maybe we give them a low interest or zero interest loan from the government, build these aircraft very fast. And if they don't get the orders, supplement their costs long-term, just until they need the new orders. I think that would be almost ideal. That way we can get the resources available. There's just not enough airplanes.
You have a good finance brain.
I don't know if that's good or bad. Sense. I mean, it would cost the taxpayers a lot of money, and I'm generally not okay with that. But
I think we can reuse or repurpose some of our tax dollars to saving something pretty obvious like homes and lives.
And lives, yeah.
You know, the basics.
The basics, exactly. So, Carson, do you have any final thoughts on this at all?
I really think that the biggest piece, at least to me, is the availability of the water. I think it's just it's insane to not have enough water to actually fight these fires, and especially with how widespread they are. You know, aside from the state being in a constant state of drought, we should have the resources properly allocated.
Absolutely. And the good thing about these super scoopers, at least on the coast of California, where the Palisades were near Santa Monica, there's the ocean. But when there's 50 mile an hour winds, I don't know if you've ever seen the ocean with 50 mile an hour winds. There's very large waves. I don't know the answer on how big waves can be for them to be able to scoop up water, but I'm guessing not that big. I know they could probably take it at different angles based on the wind and make it so it's not as dangerous, especially if they just stay a little bit higher. But then it's going to be like skipping, picking up water. It's not going to be actually scooping at a high rate of volume like they would normally scoop.
So not to mention that certain winds, especially like the Santa Ana winds that are causing these fires or causing them to spread quickly, ground the planes. You can't fly some of these planes in these winds to actually fight the fires.
Yeah. I mean, that too. That's why you see more helicopters when the winds are super high, because they can deal with the winds a little bit better. Yeah. But there's a lot of caveats to this, but I'm very grateful that we have firefighting airplanes to be able to help fight these fires. If we didn't have them, these fires would get even more outrageous and insane.
Yeah. I mean, aviation as a whole contributes a lot to this. The whole disaster management is owned by the aerial firefighting.
Yeah, aviation plays strong roles in all sorts of industries in America. People always want to close down little airports, and they want to get rid of the airplane noise, and they want to get rid of the airplane. Like Santa Monica wants to get rid of the airport because they don't like the airplane noise. Guess what? If they would have had a longer runway, they would have been able to put firefighting airplanes into that airport. Mm-hmm. That, people in LA, you should listen to. That's a big one. If we had more aerial support, what if we were able to pump water from into Santa Monica Airport through big hydrants, pump them into certain airplanes, and then still take off there? I don't even know if that's a possibility, but pumping in the fire retardant.
I mean, having the planes closer.
Having them closer. That would have been crazy. But no. The people of Santa Monica, and if you are one of them, I feel sorry for you, that your friends and family just lost houses. It could have been mitigated just a little bit, maybe a little bit more. You know, this episode is going to get me in a lot of trouble, Carson. I'm normally pretty
even-keeled
and leveled on a lot of things. But when people are dying and houses are burning, I'm not very happy about that. And if I piss some people off, so be it. Sorry, not sorry. I don't know. Hopefully you tell your friends how much you hate me and we'll get more listens on this, huh?
Drive up the engagement.
Drive up the engagement.
Oh, speaking of engagement.
Yeah, Carson's famous. He got a million views. So thank you to everybody for that.
Yeah, that's insane.
I've got a small camera for 2 seconds. He's got 28.
Yeah, and I keep rubbing that in. I'm like, you see that video of me? He's like, I was in the video too. I was like, yeah, but you were kind of in the video. It was just a 30-second reel. Props to Mark for making it. And it was a hit. So that was pretty cool. Having a... Yeah, extra engagement, extra people following us and checking us out and spreading the word and growing our community.
Really appreciate it. So a couple of questions for you guys and gals. What do you think the most critical role in aviation plays during natural disasters like wildfires? Is it firefighting, evacuation, something else? Was there something that you would like to add? Is there something you really disagree with me on and you want to fight in the comments? I actually might get in there and fight with you because I'm pretty passionate about this. So please let me know. I would love to hear it.
My dad's going to start commenting. I can already feel his comment coming. It's coming.
Or do you agree with some of the things I said? I mean, comment on those below as well. If you could improve one aspect of how aviation contributes to disaster management, what would it be? For example, mine was the Santa Monica Airport one and just adding new aircraft. I had a couple of those ideas. If you've got some other crazy ideas, put them below as well. The way that things happen in the world is based on comments and ideas and crazy ideas at that. I mean, who thought that we would ever get to the moon and who would ever think that we're going to go to Mars? Because I think we are pretty darn soon. And that can be a topic for another Aviation Inventors.
That'd be fun.
Talk about flying to Mars. That sounds good. Outside of that, Carson, what are your final words?
Peace be with you. I don't know. I think we pretty much burned this topic.
Wow, I can't believe you went there. I'm not going to even comment on that. If you'd like to reach out to either one of us, please reach us on our emails, brandon@aviationmentors.com. For Carson, it's carson@aviationmentors.com. Please don't forget to hit like, subscribe, follow, all of the things on whatever platform you're listening to us or hopefully watching us on at this point. We have been on YouTube now for, 6 months or so, and I think we've got 20, 30, 40, 50 episodes. I don't even know at this point. We've been around for 2.5 years now, and we appreciate everybody who's been a longtime listener, and please be a first-time commenter if you have been a longtime listener. We'd love to see that. Doing all of those things is a huge part of helping us grow the podcast, and of course, helping us grow the aviation community. So, thank you so much. And again, this podcast is dedicated to all those people who've lost their homes and in the fires. So sorry.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And for us, as a wrap up for the day. Remember, we're here to guide you in your aviation journey. So fly safe and enjoy the ride.
So long, everybody.